The text begs the question, can you be a secret disciple of Jesus? That is, can you manage to live life in this world so as to be faithful to the teachings of Jesus Christ without anybody else suspecting that you are a true follower of Jesus? Now let me just be really honest with you. Some of you are trying to do just that. Okay? When you get up in the morning and you shove off to work, you hope that none of the people who know you at work are going to suspicion that you belong to Jesus Christ. You hope you can get through 8 hours at least without anybody knowing you are a true follower of Jesus Christ. But it's not only true of you adults, is it? Okay, there are kids here today who go to school every morning and hope that their buddies, their friends, will never suspect that they are true followers of Jesus Christ. They want to get through the day without anybody noticing. And how about when you're out at parties, folks? Okay, you know, when they're all doing their stuff at the party, and you know down deep in your heart that that's not what God would have you do, do you hope nobody will notice as you continue to do what you know displeases God? I mean, come on. The text begs the question, can you be a secret disciple of Jesus Christ? And the answer is this, not for very long. Simple fact is that if you are indeed a true disciple of Jesus Christ, it will show and people will No. Now, in the passage of Scripture that was just read to you, we come across two men who tried to be secret disciples of Jesus Christ. The first is named Joseph of Arimathea, and the second is named Nicodemus. Now, it's interesting to notice that these two men have very similar backgrounds. First is that they were rich. Now we know, you may not catch it, but we know Nicodemus was rich. He showed up at Jesus' burial with 75 pounds of spices. That is an enormous amount of stuff to use in burying somebody. It is not the way common people were buried, and it cost him a bundle. And we know from the other Gospels that the tomb in which Jesus laid was Joseph's tomb. Okay, an expensive proposition to have your own tomb hewn out of rock to prepare for your burial. They were rich men. And they were prominent in the community. The text tells us that both of them were members of the Jewish ruling council, that is the Sanhedrin. It consisted of 75 men, the 75 most prominent men in the nation of Israel during that time. They were among them. They both had shown interest in knowing Jesus. The most prominent in that regard is Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, it tells us that he came to Jesus by night, and there is recorded in John 3 a lengthy discussion between Nicodemus and Jesus in which Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to earth that whosoever believes in him should live and not die." Nicodemus heard those words from Jesus' lips. It was Nicodemus who was bold enough to speak up in the council and try to persuade them not to kill Jesus on the basis of the law without really declaring where he stood. We also know that both Joseph and Nicodemus were devout men. That is, they were trying to live out the word of God. We know that because they were both Pharisees, dedicated to living out the word of God. And we know, catch this one now, that they were frightened by the truth. See, in their hearts, Joseph and Nicodemus had settled the question. They knew beyond any shadow of doubt that Jesus was Israel's anointed one, Jesus Messiah. They were convinced of it. But they knew that if they spoke up for the truth, it would cost them. They might even lose everything they held dear if they openly confessed that they believed in Jesus. that confession would put them in open conflict and direct conflict with extremely powerful men, the very ones who were seeking Jesus' death. To oppose those powerful men could mean that Joseph and Nicodemus would lose everything they loved. So because they feared proclaiming the truth, they were quiet. They attempted to keep their faith in Jesus a secret. They tried to be secret disciples. But folks, something happened. As Joseph and Nicodemus watched Jesus dying on the cross, everything about them changed. Going to be perfectly honest with you. That is where the change always happens, at the cross. The hymnist wrote, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Savior die? He gave his sacred head for sinners such as I. Was it for crimes that I have done that he groaned upon that tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond." Oh, drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, at the cross, Lord, I give myself away. It is all that I can do. It always happens at the cross. It is there at the foot of the cross that we see Jesus, the Lamb of God, suffer and die for one reason: to save you and me. For all of us, the turning point is at the foot of the cross upon which Jesus died to set us free. That day, folks, as Nicodemus and Joseph stood at the foot of Jesus' cross, everything in their life changed. They understood at last that you cannot be a secret disciple of Jesus Christ. They understood that being a secret disciple was impossible. Because indeed, if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, it will show, and people will know. So Joseph, God bless him, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Now, Pilate had to give his permission for them to take the body down from the cross, because if the prisoner had not died and his family took him, he might be revived. But listen to me. To take the body of Jesus from the cross was an identification with the one who had been executed. It was acknowledgement that you were part of his family. When Joseph asked for the body of Jesus, his discipleship was no longer a secret. The scripture says it. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe it in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. It's Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. When Joseph went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body, he was openly confessing that he believed in his heart, and with his mouth he asked for Jesus' body, and that moment he was saved. When Pilate gave his permission for Joseph to take Jesus' body, he and Nicodemus went to Golgotha, the place of execution. It was a public place. A public place. As others watched, they took the broken, slain body of the Lord from the cross, declaring before everyone who saw them that they were Jesus' true disciples. They carried that body to Joseph's own tomb, and they buried it with 75 pounds of spices. You may not understand the significance of that, but if you were to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 14, you would discover that the law requires the burial of Israel's kings to be done with 75 pounds of spice. When they did that, those who knew the law, they were men who understood the law, they were proclaiming that Jesus was their king. Can you be a secret disciple of Jesus? Not for long. For the moment comes when you must declare with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, because you believe it in your heart. Your tongue must say, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you say that in truth, it will show in the way you live your life, and people around you will know. See, right now as we are seated here in this room, every true believer of Jesus Christ bears the mark, the seal of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, on him, meaning on Jesus, God the Father has placed the seal of his approval. It's John chapter 6, verse 27. The Bible says God has set his seal of ownership on us if we are true believers. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. The Bible says, having believed, you are marked with a seal, Ephesians 1:3. It means that, like it or not, if you believe it in your heart and confessed it with your lips, you belong to Jesus. The seal is on you. You belong to Jesus. We are told in the book of Revelation that in the end time, the day will come when the seal of God, which identifies those who believe in Jesus, that great seal will become visible to all. The disciples of Jesus Christ who bear the mark, the seal of God, will be known, because the seal will be seen. And the world will know. So if you want to hide your faith and be a secret disciple, believing in your heart but not confessing with your lips, trying to keep your discipleship a secret from all those around you, understand, it is utterly and completely impossible. For you cannot be a secret disciple of Jesus Christ. Give it up. If you are a disciple of Jesus, it will show. People will know. Your lips will confess it. And the way you live your life will declare to the world, Jesus Christ is Lord.